Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. Be seated and be silent now. Hello, students of the Progenium, and welcome once again as we explore the Imperium today, a series of lectures to be disseminated across relevant Imperial institutions in an effort to spread pertinent information and previously heavily restricted information to better aid the glorious Imperial war machine in crushing its enemies and securing the Emperor's realm. Today, we will be covering the insidious threat of the Gene Stealer. You will be informed of their nature, purpose, and origins as an element of the Tyranids' invasion strategy of our galaxy. I believe that it is best to start at the beginning. However, I would like to mention before we begin that you have been selected, and for those viewing this recording later, that this information is still highly restricted and should not be spread to any below or above your rank, or without confirmation and approval from the Office of the Commissariat. For your sake. So, the Gene Stealers, a terrible organism which can bring the Imperium to its knees. Not only physically, but also because they are a moral threat, as their activities often, through one way or another, sow discord and revolt amongst those not infected by their taint, feeding upon dissent and fanning the flames of selfish resentment amongst the Bolshe citizens to destabilize local authorities for their own ends. But what are they? Well, this is a question many ask themselves within the Imperium at large, or at least the Holy Ordos did, and the high commands of every segmentum as they became aware of them. Initially, they were believed to be simply a parasitical Xenos race, which through the forces of natural selection were simply propagating themselves throughout the universe and on many human worlds. Now, philosophically that is actually true, but initially the true threat was not truly understood. From around the mid-41st millennium, the presence of Gene Stealers was noted across the Imperium, but particularly and unsurprisingly considering their origins, mostly in the Galactic East in the Ultima Segmentum. In hindsight, certain events and older corrupted records point to their entry into this galaxy earlier, but this first true contact with the organism was on the moons of Yim'Gal. Following the invasion of Macragge, that bastion of Imperial power and the homeworld of our most beloved Imperial regent Primarch Gilliman, it was discovered that the creatures on Yim'Gal were in fact a divergent breed of Gene Stealers, which had become separated from the collective hive mind and gone down a separate evolutionary path. The Yim'Gal were later exterminated upon learning of their Tyranid origins, but some appear to have escaped their world and spread to other systems, somehow. The Salamanders chapter appearing to have failed to succeed in performing their true duty here. The hive mind does not appear to want this divergent strain back, however. Much the Yim'Gal try, and interestingly, when they present themselves on worlds in the process of being devoured by the Hive Fleets, they themselves are left behind, their genetic material and biomass apparently not consumed or wanted by the Hive Mind. Two other notable instances occurred. Firstly, the Blood Angels' battles upon the Space Hulk Sin of Damnation. The encounters upon the Sin of Damnation show us the extreme danger this Xenos breed is in combat situations. Now, this is not the first instance of them being encountered, far from it. Many Astartes and other Imperial forces investigating hulks and drifting ships have been involved and either annihilated or infected, causing the spread of this invasive organism. But we will get to that shortly. The Blood Angels' engagements are the best known and detailed recordings of events, but there have been many, many more across the Imperium that are not recorded in what passes for, the complete Imperial record. The experience of the Blood Angels and the Space Hulk Sin of Damnation inform the wider Imperium about the Gene Stealers and how they operate. Later, of course, when their kinship with the Tyranid race was laid bare during the battle for Macragge, or at least going over the corpses left by that battle, and the later Tyrannic Wars, we learned how they fight when part of a Tyranid ground force. So, let's discuss how they fight and what you can expect if you ever take part in a brave investigation of a spacehawk, or facing them during a ground engagement. The Gene Stealer itself is an extremely adaptable and intelligent Tyranid bioform. Primarily, it is used as a scouting and infiltration creature, but being such a dangerous and well-crafted warrior form, it often joins the ground forces deployed by the High Fleets during invasions, as it is extremely useful against the armies it opposes. They are bipedal, with 6 limbs, 2 legs, and 4 arms. They are extremely fast, strong, and intelligent, with a very large brain. The hive mind allows them some measure of independence, so they can function far from the hive mind, but they are utterly loyal still and cannot be turned from the will of the hive mind, as its desires and objectives are hardwired into its very genetic code. So, although they can reason and plan, their objective is ever to carry out their purpose and slay, infiltrate, multiply, and consume. When a Gene Stealer ascends to Patriarch of a Gene Stealer cult or brood, it acts as a synapse creature to its spawn, having command over them, and can develop psychic abilities with age and growth. Another possible development fate for a Gene Stealer is to become a Broodlord, a grossly enlarged Gene Stealer, which acts as a commander or leader of Gene Stealers and other Tyranid forms, with its increased size and increasing power of its synaptic influence spreading over to the other bioforms, similar in a way to the Hive Tyrant, which has been encountered on many battlefields. Now, there is a standard, what we may call classical form, with 2 of the arms having human-like hands, and the other 2 having powerful claws, which combined with their strength is strong enough to penetrate Ceramite and even the blessed plate of Terminator armor. Occasionally, different variants are spawned by the High Fleets when a particular trait is required, but for the most part, in the main, this is the variant most likely to be encountered. The High Fleets have certain standardized and battle-tested strains of bioforms, but they are a highly adaptable species and are able to evolve swiftly. When they encounter opposition which can't be overcome with their standard breeds. Also, due to their rapid evolution, this ability to adapt when the Gene Stealer broods are left in some isolation from the High Fleets allows them to adapt to local situations, creating adaptations of their form to better prosper and fulfill their objectives in a given environment. Gene Stealers are basically shot out from the High Fleet as advanced scouts, literally shot forth in a spray of mycetic spores out into the void. Imagine, if you will, some kind of Gene Stealer eggs or mini cocoons with a Gene Stealer each inside them. Unlike the Lictor bioform, which is deployed prior to a planetary invasion to strike at the defenders, the Gene Stealer is there for more long-term infiltration and scouting. As with all Tyranid organisms, these cocoons are sentient and direct themselves towards planets, or, as is often the case when travelling through the void, towards shipwrecks, space hulks, asteroids and other stellar debris, and then they drift until they come close to a world or a passing ship with crew. A space hulk is the most fortuitous location for a Gene Stealer to find, as it randomly materializes into the galaxy and often in the black void between worlds, and will then re-enter the warp, which doesn't appear to corrupt Tyranids in the same way as other life forms, and probably because they don't have a soul, and then transports them all over our galaxy and potentially others. Now, a space hulk may become a host to a clutch of Gene Stealers, as the hive mind will shoot out a spray of these hideous cocoons into the universe, or a planet infested with a Gene Stealer cult may deposit these pure breeds on a space hulk when it emerges above their world, and therefore fulfilling their biological need to spread their Xenos contagion further across the stars. Gene Stealers will enter and hatch from their transport, on board a spacehawk, and if it is inhabited, will begin to scout out and infect the local population as it does on a planet. Alternatively, they may simply slaughter them, depending upon the situation. The gene stealers will attack and slaughter intruders or attempt to infect them, or may also simply enter into a kind of hibernation in some corner of the hulk and not awaken even if it becomes inhabited by other creatures until it comes upon a world likely to be a good prospect for infiltration and to carry out its primary function of infection to the local population. The first widely known incident of a gene stealer being encountered on a spacehawk was when the Blood Angels chapter deployed its entire force to investigate the sin of damnation. Now, obviously a spacehawk is a dangerous prospect even before the threat of the gene stealer was understood, but it offers such an opportunity for the recovery of Archaeotech, the Imperium must investigate and catalogue them. Where possible, they will be disabled and destroyed, but often they are only in a system for a short time before they re-enter the warp. The first engagement was in 996 M40, and only 50 Marines survived these first confrontations with the Gene Stealers, the force being assaulted by an unending wave of the bioforms until the survivors managed to retreat. 600 years later, the Blood Angels gained revenge when learning from this catastrophic engagement and deployed their first company all in Terminator armor, which succeeded in purging the Hulk of the Gene Stealer menace, capturing it, and even recovered artifacts lost during the previous engagement. This shows the horror of the Gene Stealers, that they could do so much damage to a Space Marine chapter as glorious as the Blood Angels. Astartes have become adept at fighting these foul Xenos, with many chapters fighting them on hulks and planets. Obviously, the Eastern Fringe and the Ultimar Segmentum have the most experience of fighting these beasts, but now they have been encountered across our Imperium. The true threat of the Gene Stealer, though, is their method of infiltration into other species' civilizations, where they spread and weaken them, prior to the arrival of their parent High Fleets. As well as acting like a lure to the High Fleets, which can detect the presence of its offspring throughout the Void, and will head towards them. The process works like so. The Gene Stealer will reach a planet, and for this example we will assume it is a human-populated world, although the process is the same for when a Gene Stealer infiltrates different species. The first pure-strain Gene Stealer will scout out and observe their prey, often finding a suitable lair, which will form the base of operations for the cult, or brood, as it grows. This process of scouting can take decades as the Gene Stealer learns about its environment and prey. Once established, it will seek out victims. It will incapacitate them using its hypnotic stare and give them what is called the Gene Stealer kiss, whereby it inserts its tube-like tongue called the ovipositor, which inserts or impregnates the new host with an embryonic organism which contains the Gene Stealer's genetic material, which gradually infects and alters the host, also breaking their mind and placing their consciousness in the thrall of the miniature version of the hive mind known as the brood mind, which essentially places the victim under a psychic thraldom and at the command of the Gene Stealer, in miniaturization of the hive mind's ability to control its beasts. The infected host is now irreversibly contaminated, and the only solution is to kill them and preferably incinerate the body. They will go on to spread the Gene Stealer curse to others it has intimate contact with, and any child born from such a union will be a hideous hybrid, with the first generation known as Acolytes, which are free-armed, dim, clumsy half-breeds of their host species and the Gene Stealer, but with only an animal cunning. They are contemptible. The second generation, bred from this first generation of offspring, will be slightly more intelligent and capable, and can be selectively bred to pursue certain traits such as speed or strength in mirror to how the hive mind operates, testing different forms of life for best effectiveness. The third generation born will be a true hybrid, which can pass, at a glance at least, with a mask or disguise, as a member of the host species, They are intelligent and able to utilize complex technology, but are still utterly loyal to the Brood and cannot be turned from its very nature. The fourth generation are called neophytes and are extremely difficult to identify and are perfect for infiltration of the society fully, utilizing, at least in human societies, blackmail, theft, kidnap and other techniques to either further the Brood's aims within this civilization or to acquire more hosts. Some neophytes of the fourth generation are born with certain specialities, potentially as determined by the will of the first gene stealer, which now acts as the patriarch and is worshipped as a loving father figure by the corrupted and debased Brood. Magus is a powerful psyker hybrid, which is born when one of its parents had psychic gifts. They are a great asset to the Brood, utilizing their power to further the Brood's influence and aims, or unleashing their powers in war. A gene stealer Primus is born when the Brood reaches a sufficient size to require a champion or general to lead them. They are incredibly strong warriors and also gifted with a supreme tactical and strategic acumen, able to lead the Brood in war. There are a number of other unique neophyte breeds which are bred as and when the Brood needs them, for instance, experts at logistics, communication, and medical or scientists, all of which aid and add to the Brood's power and influence. The fifth generation sees the cycle come to its end, with the parents giving birth to pure strain gene stealers, which are essentially clones of the original patriarch. This cycle will continue again and again as the Brood spreads amongst the population, gaining strength with each host it takes. Sometimes years and decades can go by, with the cult slowly building its numbers and acquiring weaponry and influence. Then one day, either with the approach of the High Fleets or because the Brood has been uncovered or simply has reached critical mass, it will unleash its strength on the host population in order to take over the planet in what is often called a Day of Ascension. This uprising will either conquer the planet or be crushed, but due to the invasive nature of the Gene Stealer, victory does not mean survival, at least for we in the Imperium, as it is understood that any substantial infestation has more likely or not corrupted the entire population, and that the only way to ensure the Brood is fully wiped out and purged from the populace is to order exterminatus. This is with a heavy heart, but it is simply impossible to ensure that all traces of the Brood have been eliminated, especially from a hive world, which has a large population and near endless refuges for the Brood to hide. If a Brood does take the planet, they simply continue to breed and multiply while spreading to other worlds. They can transport themselves too, setting up new Broods on other worlds and beginning the process anew, thus forming quasi-gene-stealer empires ruled secretly by the main patriarch and its descendants. It is important to know that for those infected with the gene-stealer curse, they do not view their offspring as the vile half-breeds that they are. They, in their minds, appear to see them as pristine, pure children, so deeply is their corruption in the mind and the soul. There is only one way to deal with that kind of threat. Alternatively, if the uprising comes during an invasion from the High Fleet, the Brood will fight alongside them and be ignored by their Tyranid cousins until, once the enemy is defeated, they are slaughtered. But not only by the arriving host, but also the pure strains, which will be subsumed back within the hive mind and act in accord with their fellows before they and all life on the planet is consumed by the orbiting hive fleet. A fitting end, one might say, for these who have betrayed humanity, not merely physically, but spiritually. Where human worlds are afflicted, each Brood or cult creates many similar but culturally or environmentally unique variants. For instance, the iconography they use and the beliefs of the cult are often similar across many infestations, but also diverge based on the cultures they are subverting. Sometimes the patriarch will be considered a star child, or the great father, for instance. Sometimes the cult will teach its members, as they are human and still need to believe in something, about the coming of a new age, or perhaps rail against the iniquities of imperial society. Some of these beliefs may be useful to spread the brood's influence, others simply affectations evolving by chance, but they are all things to watch out for during your service, as they bear similarities in their symbolism. Unfortunately, any planet which sees an uprising will most likely suffer exterminators, as mentioned. After all, it is the only way to truly be sure. But sometimes, on sparsely populated worlds, or when the cult is still small, it may be possible to burn away the virus before it spreads. In those instances, however, the planet will be monitored for decades afterwards to ensure it is pure. And, let's be frank, the planet must have some kind of actual value for that kind of work to be undertaken by the Imperium. The Gene Stealer threat is one of the greatest humanity faces, even with the coming of the Great Rift. The cults draw the hive mind to ripe worlds and sabotage the Imperium's efforts to fight back by rising up when the high fleets come into the sights of humanity's defenders. The cults spread ever onwards, infecting world after world, and the sheer amount of gene stealers the hive mind has fired into our galaxy as its tendrils begin to engulf us would drive you to insanity. So it is your duty to remain vigilant when serving, not simply of the populations of the world you visit, but of your comrades, and to ever be ready to do what needs to be done to purge this virus from the Imperium and to preserve the holy human form. And with that brief exploration of this terrible threat, I direct you to a number of materials at the back of the room. Please take them with you and study them closely. They will be important to you going forward. Do not hesitate to report anything you view as suspicious on your postings. Your observations may be important and may save the Imperium from losing the whole world, or at least allow us to expunge one of taint before it can spread. See you next time. Thanks very much for watching, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this little lecture on the Gene Stealers. I'll be doing another one of these soon on another subject. I've got two that I might do. I'm not too sure which. Thanks for watching. If you'd like to support the channel, like these kind gentlemen here have, and be added to this roll call of honour, please consider using the links below. Otherwise, if you wouldn't mind just giving this video a like, subscribing if you're not subscribed, and remember to hit the little bell so you get notified when I do stuff. I will see you next time for more. May the Emperor protect.